You're listening to CKTZ 89.5 FM, Cortez Community Radio, cortezradio.ca. I'm your host, Maureen Bader, and this is Art on the Island. Program, I'll speak live with Cortez Island artists. We'll talk about their stories, their inspirations, and their current projects. Best of all, you can call in to ask questions and make comments. Call into the studio at 250-935-0200. Listen most Fridays between 9 and 9:30 a.m. And welcome back to Art on the Island with your host, Maureen Bader. Today on the show, we have Maggie Armitage. Maggie, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
It's great to have you on. So, Maggie, how long have you been living on Cortez Island?
I moved here in 2002, so that would make it 16 years already.
Wow, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And have you been doing art the whole time?
More or less. I moved here and I thought I was going to do everything, every kind of arts that was available. I was jumping at it. And so always.
What sort of things did you do when you first started?
Oh, I started knitting. I started gardening. Just anything that I could put my hands on, crocheting, any creations with my hands.
And so what made you change your mind about doing everything?
Well, it's a bit much. I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
So, but
I think just to focus my energy made me spend more time with the things that I like to do most.
So what made you then decide to, well, let's first of all say your primary activity now is willow basket weaving. Is that right?
No.
Uh-oh.
Music.
Oh, it's music
play,
now.
Play music, singing, and basket making.
So the basket making, that's something I wanted to focus a little bit on just now, because you had baskets at the Cortez Craft Shop over the summer.
Yes.
And those sold very well. I was in the craft shop also, and I had a really big sale. Someone came in and bought one of the great big baskets.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think attracts people to your baskets?
Wow, good question.
Is it the workmanship? I mean, do you ever talk to people who've purchased your baskets and ask them, you know, what attracted you to my basket or what?
I think it just makes them feel good.
Yeah, it's because it's quite an interesting, intricate weaving pattern that you use. How do you do that?
It's one piece at a time. It's in, out, and you repeat. It's a long process.
Where did you get the willow from?
I grow it.
And then so is it actually the little branches that you use, or do you strip the bark, or how does that work?
It's basket willow, so it doesn't grow into a big tree, or you don't let it grow into a big mm-hmm. tree. You cut all the shoots at the stump every year.
Oh.
So every year you get a harvest, and then the stump keeps getting bigger and bigger, mm-hmm. sending out more shoots and more material.
Oh, I didn't know willow trees would. So I guess it's, but if you let
it grow.
It's
a different, it's not like the weeping willow that,
oh,
you
okay.
know. It's a special basket willow, which won't weep, which won't, even if you let it grow into a tree, it'll still, the branches will still go up
spread
mostly.
Out. Oh, that's interesting.
And there's many different varieties with different colors.
Ah, and what sort of variety did you use then?
My favorite is called the Black Mall.
Mm-hmm.
But there's many varieties, and I like to use a blend of color, but the Black Mall is the most flexible. It's also the one that will stay the most slender over its length.
Oh, so uniform.
So it doesn't taper quite mm-hmm. as rapidly as other varieties.
Hmm. So what made you decide to take up willow basket weaving?
Well, I saw an ad one day on a bulletin board of this man, Alistair Hazeltine from, I believe, Hornby Island. Mm. Sorry. Who was coming to Linnea to give a workshop. And then the following year, I saw the same ad with a different basket. So I've watched the ads go up a couple of years, always thinking, oh, I would so love to do this. Mm-hmm. And then after the fact, I'd be, oh, why didn't I do it? And so one year I decided, I'm doing it. And I just knew even beforehand that I was going to love it. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't mistaking. I just loved it right away. And I still love it.
So essentially, your study really involved just taking a course at Linnea with this fellow?
Twice. Mm-hmm. I did two workshops with him. And then I also did some research and found different designs that I've incorporated and taken on myself. But yeah, I like to take a little bit of instruction and then see what happens, see what I can do, what I can find and discover through it.
So how long have you been working with baskets, or how long were you working with baskets, I guess?
It's been at least 10, 12 years.
That's a long time now.
Yeah.
So do you think that you have a particular style? So when people look at your baskets, do they say, oh, yeah, that's definitely a basket that Maggie has done? Do you think you have a particular style?
I don't know about style so much as precision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very precise and I don't know if perfection would be the right word, because it's not a perfection to any outside standard. It's mostly that I have a vision, and it's not even a vision that I have beforehand. It's the vision that happens as I progress, but it just has to be exactly just so. And that's the way I work.
Well, maybe that's what attracts people to it, is the cleanliness or clean mind.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Because it seems like from what I've heard, that people see a big difference mm-hmm. between a basket and another basket, like one basket, my basket or someone else's basket. And to me, I only see difference in style, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I know that's my way of just having a very precise idea of, as I go, of how the next piece has to be, and then I just have to make it happen. I can see from people buying them that they see something special in it.
So do you think that particular style or this need to be precise reflects your personality? And if it does...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What does that say about you?
I don't know. Maybe a single-mindedness of just having a direction that is mine and that I have to follow despite anything else.
Mm-hmm. So with the willow baskets, what sort of production challenges do you face here on the island? Because you said you had to produce your own, you need to grow the willow mm-hmm. itself. I mean, yeah. Did you set up your own plantation, so to speak?
Or? Yes. Well, now I'm going to be planting two new plantations very soon. And... But it's not, I don't see it as a challenge. It's just part of it. And I'm sure it'll involve a lot of fun times with the people helping me.
So when you make the baskets, you use willow. Are there any other supplies you need to use with that?
No, the basket is 100% willow.
Really?
I need some tools.
Yeah. But you don't use
glue or...
No, there's no glue, no strings, no strings attached. No, it's 100% willow.
Interesting. And then once you've made the basket, how do you market them? We know you sell at the Cortez Craft Shop, but is there any other outlet that people can see your work?
Well, I just recently brought some, not much, because I have very few baskets and items left, but I brought them to the museum. So oh, okay. they are at the museum to be seen and or purchased.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, as my production of willow gets greater and greater, I would like not only to be in craft stores and the craft store, the museum, I would like to sit at outdoor markets,
mm-hmm.
and just sit there and weave and you know, to be going through the whole process. For people to see and to talk to
that's a good
people.
Idea. Mm-hmm.
I would love that. And also, as I have more and more baskets, bigger inventory, I'd like to, fill my van, drive down Vancouver Island, find all the craft stores on Vancouver Island and maybe the other islands. I've been approached to do some workshops.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Between workshops and spreading out as I have more willow, that would be that's the plan as it stands.
So you said at the beginning that really right now you're not doing so much willow basket weaving, but you're singing. Why is that?
Because singing and playing music is like my heartbeat. I just have to do it constantly. The same as, you know, I need to breathe. I'm not going to stop to breathe because I'm going to weave baskets. So the music is not going anywhere. And also the willow until, like right now, I grow and I have willow to weave for about 2 months, mm-hmm. 2-3 months, and then I'm out of material.
Okay.
I could buy, but I've had a lot of people expressing how it makes them feel that the willow is grown here, mm-hmm. that I grow the willow. So I don't know that I'd want to start purchasing commercially grown. It still grows from the earth anywhere. But I think a lot of people like the idea that I grow it, that it's grown on Cortez. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to try to grow more. I mean, it grows. It grows so easily. It grows...
Like a weed.
It's like, try to stop me.
Yeah. That's, there are a lot of plants on Cortez Island that do that for sure. So where would people hear your singing? Besides the bathroom, you know, the shower.
I will be performing at the December Coffee House at Hollyhock.
Oh.
On December 15th, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, fantastic. So people can, how would people go and see you there? Is there an
It's going to be advertised. It's going to be on the Tideline. Sorry. It's going to be on the Tideline.
So December the 15th at Hollyhock. That's just a couple of weeks away.
I guess so.
Time's going by too quickly. And then you think you'll be planting more willow and having bigger production, so you'll have more of your locally sourced material for next year then? And you'll have more baskets next year?
Yes. Yes, the harvest is between the fall of the leaves and the swelling of the buds. So usually mid-December, that's when I'll be harvesting. So that'll give me the material for my next year's baskets and also all the material to plant my two new plantations.
Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty broad range of activities from singing to basket weaving. What sort of advice can you give to local artists?
My only advice would be to follow your own advice.
And certainly be flexible.
Yes, be flexible. Be open-minded. Just pay attention. Pay attention.
Well, Maggie, that was great. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Art on the Island with your host, Maureen Bader. Now we have a special guest, Jan Bose. Jan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Maureen. It's nice to be here.
Great. So how long have you been on the island?
We've been on the island 20 years. My husband's family has been here since the 40s. So.
Wow, that's really fantastic. So you've got a really long history with the island and long tradition. So that probably really helps you with your artwork.
It does. It does. Yeah.
So what made you take up art?
I was an arty kid. I had lots of crafts when I was a child, and my mom was a knitter and did some sewing and made most of our clothes. I just always seemed to have a project as a child. My dad and grandfather were professional commercial photographers.
Oh.
My sister's quite a good watercolorist, and I can't draw at all, so I can do stuff with fabric pretty well.
So you consider yourself to be a fabric artist?
A fiber artist, yes.
A fiber artist.
Yeah.
And so that's what you've done ever since you were a child?
No. I did a lot of needle pointing. I did, you name it. I sort of dabbled in a lot of stuff. But this is where I found my love.
So, and that's quilting?
It's quilting, yes.
And what made you then decide, what made you decide to move, say, from needlepoint into quilting?
Well, I had a horrible 7th grade teacher, sewing teacher, who decided that we were all going to make aprons. And we didn't have sewing machines back in those days, so we ended up doing everything by hand. She made me take my stitches out 7 times, and I finally said, there's no way I'm ever sewing in my life. Then we moved to Cortez, and I realized that I needed curtains, I needed pillows, I needed to do some things in the clinic, and I thought, you know what, it's time to bite the bullet, buy a sewing machine, and teach myself how to do it, and so that's what I did.
So you've never had any sort of formal sewing training?
Nope.
That 7th grade teacher was just the end of your...
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're pretty much all self-taught?
I'm self-taught, yeah. About 15 years ago, a friend of mine in Australia was having a baby, and I decided, I'm going to make her a quilt. Well, I probably picked one of the toughest patterns ever, and it was my first quilt. I mailed off to her, and I said, it's my first quilt. It's a little cattywampus, but it was made with a lot of love. And that's when I got the bug.
And that's 15 years ago, you said?
That's about 15 years ago, yeah.
So you've been at the quilting now for about 15 years. Do you think that you've developed your own style?
I change. Patterns change. I'm really into curves right now, which are very, very difficult to do. It's quite a challenge. Yeah, there's a few. I make a lot of quilts. I'm a member of the Quadra Quilt Guild. So we make about 50 quilts a year for the Vancouver Children's Hospital, for the oncology ward. So every child that goes through with cancer gets a quilt from the Quadra Guild. So I get involved in that. That takes up quite a bit of my time. And here on the island, just for fun, I make a lot of things for the craft shop. So
that's right. So you're very active in the craft shop, and you've got your stuff in the craft shop. How long have you been in the craft shop?
It's hard to say. Probably 8 to 10 years. I haven't really thought about it. It's just something I do every year, and I'm also in charge of public relations between all of the members. So that takes a good part of my time as well.
But at the craft shop, you do more than just quilting. I don't think I've ever seen a quilt there. You have other things at the craft shop.
Yeah. I have napkins and placemats and bags and things that are small and easily made. I make them with a lot of my scraps. Making a quilt is a real commitment. Any quilt that you make, or make well can take between 40 and 60 hours.
Wow.
So it is an absolute love. And you hope whoever you give it to is going to love it and appreciate the amount of work that you put into it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, for instance, we're sitting in your workshop right now, and you've got something that you've prepared for the children's hospital, and that's a quilt that's got an interesting pattern, and hopefully we'll get a photo of that we can put up on our podcast page. Then
it's not quite finished, but
that's a good thing, because what we're seeing on this particular quilt are a bunch of different squares and little sort of roadways, but you've got trains and all kinds of things. Explain how you got that idea and what inspired you.
Well, fabric really inspires me, and I collected the bits of fabric from the guild, and it's a very simple pattern. It's something that I could put together fairly quickly because we want to make as many as we can. What my love is batiks, and the colors of the batiks are what really, really inspire me. And I'm lucky enough in the fact that I can carry color around in my head. So when I'm traveling, if I happen to find some place that has a fabric, I can sort of remember that I have a fabric at home that will match that fabric. Other than that, I really don't have any art sense at all. But color for me is something that really, really inspires me. And what you see in the craft shop is not what I normally make for everybody else. So.
But one of the things you mentioned about the donations for the Children's Hospital and the Quadra Quilt Guild is that people have donated fabrics. So a lot of those fabrics are donated.
Yes. Yeah, we get a lot of them out of our own stashes when we get tired of a fabric, or you know, just something that you're not going to use anymore. Then it'll go over to the Quilt Guild, or sometimes some of my odds and ends that I'm not interested in using anymore, I take down to the free store, and other people on the island can use them. So,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So if people are interested in donating to the Quadra Quilt Guild, how would they do that?
Probably get in contact with me.
Okay.
And so then I'll take it over to the meeting and see if it's something that we can use. There's a lot out there that, you know, because we do primarily children's quilts, we do comfort quilts as well. Mm-hmm. We did make a quilt for, there was a couple on the island that had lost their home, and Quadra Quilters donated a quilt for the auction on the island a number of years ago. And of course, that one was not children's patterns. So,
But that's true. So for instance, you do the children's pattern here with the trains, and then you were talking about curves. You've got something with circles.
Mm-hmm.
So what? I mean, other than the children's quilts for the hospital, what sort of would make you want to do a certain type of pattern?
The more complex these days, it's more of a challenge. I think quilting's not so much. I know you do a lot of wonderful paintings and things. Quilting is maybe a little bit of sculpture, because you actually have to cut out certain shapes and then try and put them back together again in a certain form, like the curves. You know, you have to really play with the material to get it all flat and get it down into the shape. My husband says it's the craziest form of art ever. You take a perfectly good piece of fabric, cut it into pieces, and then sew it all back together again.
That is crazy.
So it is. It really is. But it's something I love to do, and I've got quite a few friends who love to do it as well. So,
but when you do that, what is it you're really trying to accomplish then?
Usually I have something in mind. I have a gift for a friend, or I usually find a way of learning while I'm making a new gift for a friend, or putting patterns and colors together, like some of the bags I have up there. I love, you know, like the little whales. I found fabric to go that looks like water underneath, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. Some of it is sort of whimsical, and other parts of it is. I don't consider myself a serious artist, but I enjoy what I do.
So it's just about having fun and putting together
absolutely
in a technical challenge. And mm-hmm. and is there sort of like a message that you want to express to people when you put together your, you know, your whales and your water, or the trains for the kids? Is there sort of like a message there?
No message. Just it's something I enjoy. Like I'll find a pattern, I'll find a piece of fabric that just inspires me, and I find a way to put it together. You know, as you can see, I've got quite a stash here. And
you certainly do.
And not as bad as some people, though. But I, you know, a lot of days I'll just go and walk up to my shelves and start pulling fabric out and putting them together. And I'll get a color idea in my head. And about 90% of the time it works. And sometimes it really doesn't.
Yeah, those are always something for the burn pile.
Yeah, that's right.
So living on Cortez Island, you know, we're two ferry rides away from the closest fabric store. Not that the fabric store in Campbell River is anything to write home about.
No.
I've been there myself, I know.
Yes.
What sort of production challenges do you feel you face here, and how do you overcome those?
You know, a lot of stuff is mail order, like my zippers and stuff. I have to get mail order, and I order quite a few at a time, especially the bags I make for the craft shop for the summer. And some of the fabric is mail order as well. Colors are pretty good, depending on the screen on your computer, you know. I can get some to match and some not. But when we travel, I tend to come home with some fabric. Yeah. Rick used to refer to my quilting bag as the body bag in the back of the car.
Oh, no, it must have been a big one.
It was a big one. Well, when I make placemats and napkins for the craft shop, I go through almost 2 football fields worth of fabric a year.
That's amazing.
It's a lot of yeah.
When I was at the craft shop and people would come in and look at your work, they would usually take, you know, because everything is nicely matched up.
Yeah.
You could get the placemats and then the matching napkins.
Yeah.
And people would come in and buy quite a, you know, when someone came in and bought your stuff, they'd walk out with quite a bit of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's fun about it is with people who are traveling, and especially on boats and things like that, it doesn't break.
Right.
And it's easily shipped, and there's just a joy in having something that's beautiful and brings some color into somebody's life on your table, or you know, in your child's bedroom, or even a quilt for your bed.
So what sort of advice can you give to local artists?
Enjoy what you do. Just really, you know, I don't do it to make money. I put things in the craft shop to sort of afford more fabric for giveaways or for the guild, or I do a lot of things for charity. But I just enjoy what I do. I'm not, you know, I was never trained, or it's, for me, it's just fun.
So in the summer, people can see your work at the craft shop. Is there any place people can see your work now?
No. If they want something, I've done some runners and things, commissioned pieces for people on the island. And I encourage people to come down, go through my stash if there's something that they decide they want as a Christmas present or whatever. Just come down, pick something out, and I'll get it produced.
How can people get in touch with you?
My email address is bayhousedesigns@twincom.ca, and that's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me.
Perfect. Well, Jen, thank you very much for coming on the show. This was a very interesting talk.
Thank you, Maureen.
You've been listening to Art on the Island on CKTZ 89.5 FM, Cortez Community Radio, cortezradio.ca. Your host was Maureen Bader. If you are a Cortez Island artist and you'd like to be on the program, please send me an email to artcortezradio@gmail.com. Bye for now.